Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. I appreciate, is it Audrey? Audrey and Kristen on the piano and digital tonight, doing a good job, like the folks did last week. So Proverbs 1, Brother Mix got our song tonight. We'll enjoy it, and then we're jumping in to Proverbs 1 this evening. All right.
Lord, you left the splendor of heaven, a crown, a robe, and a throne. But what kind of love would lead you to leave the safety of that kind of home? I know that you willingly suffer. Why would you suffer for me? I know that I am, and I don't understand how I could be worth Calvary. When you knew I was lost, and you knew that a cross was the price you'd have to pay. When we cry, crucify, Lord, you didn't have to die, but you did it anyway. Now I'll never see what you saw in me, 'cause you knew I would never be perfect. I'm just so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it. Lord, sometimes I feel like a vessel, just useless old pieces of clay. But somehow you saw something worth dying for. You paid more than you should have paid. When you knew I was lost, and you knew that a cross was the price you'd have to pay. When we cried, crucify, Lord, you didn't have to die, but you did it anyway. Now I'll never see what you in me, 'cause you knew I would never be perfect. But I'm just so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it. Now I'll never see what you saw in me, 'cause you knew I would never be perfect. But I'm just so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it. Somehow you thought I was worth it.
Amen for that. All right, let's get a handout tonight, if you would please, ushers, and pass those around, everybody. Should have enough everybody here this evening. A couple things just to remind you. Trish goes for her chemo tomorrow. That is Thursday. So if you think about her tomorrow, especially ask the Lord's presence and help there in that and during that treatment. And then thank the Lord that God was watching over Brother Jason Pixley. He had a bang-up out here on the interstate yesterday morning and ended up totaling his car, but he's okay, just kind of sore, banged up, but no cuts and no broken bones or anything, but we're thankful for God's watch care over him. All right, so I just wanted to remind you about that tonight. Very good. Y'all have some copies upstairs? Very good. Super. Proverbs chapter 1, and I make you this promise, believe it or not, you probably don't believe me yet, but we're not going to bog down and be slow going through the book, but this first chapter is just so foundational, really. It really kind of sets the tone for the entire book when it comes to the contrast that the contrast that the book of Proverbs uses often between the wise and the foolish, And we said we got into that a little bit last week, and I want to get into it a little bit more tonight. We will be done with chapter 1. A couple of principles tonight, and then we'll be ready to move on. And we won't hit every chapter verse by verse after chapter 1. Thank you, Lord, for your book. Thank you for this particular portion of your book. And I do pray for the young and, Lord, the simple, that you will cause them to have a desire to learn during this time of we're spending in your book of Proverbs. But, Lord, it's not just limited to the young. There's plenty of wisdom here available for all of us, and I pray that you'll help. And, Lord, some of these things they may not need now, but we'll need in a few years. So give us grace. Speak to us tonight. Help me, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. I don't have my sheet from last week, but I remember that principle number one is the wise will increase either in learning or in wisdom. I can't remember what word I used, but the wise will increase in wisdom or in learning. And you'll see that in verse number 5. Principle number 2, the wise will live with a healthy fear of the Lord. That was verses 7 and following. The wise will live with a healthy fear of the Lord. That reverence, that awe, that respect, that sense of worship and sense of serving God. The wise will live with that fear, a healthy fear of the Lord. Jump right in tonight to living wisely, principle number 3. The wise understand how dangerous it is, pardon me, to listen to the voice of evil people. So the wise understand how dangerous it is to listen to the voice of evil people. Now, you know, you young people that are in a Christian home, in a good church, in a Christian school environment, whether here or at home, you're not working in the world yet, but you're not going to stay where you are all of your life. And it won't be long for some of you where you will be working in a situation where you'll be surrounded by lost people. And you know what? When you go from the cocoon of a protected environment at home, at church, and school, to working with people who have absolutely no regard for God whatsoever, it could be an eye-opening experience to you. An eye-opening experience. And I will say that the women in the work world today are as evil as the men, if not more so in some cases. So some of the things I want to say tonight, you know, you think to yourself, well, you know, I don't ever hear the voice of evil people. That doesn't mean that you won't. All right? Because you're going to that. I've watched my kids grow up and go through that. They were in a protected environment. Even when the boys worked at the farm, they were pretty much by themselves. There's not too much temptation coming from a cow. All right? And so they weren't a whole lot around evil temptation until they went off to college and they got a job in the work world and they started working. And I tell you what, it's an eye-opening experience. You go from that shelter to shock at how wicked the world is. You know, and, you know, I see Sarah Harrison back here shaking her head up and down. Remember when she worked at the church and she left for a while to go, and I won't say where she worked, but she worked at a local business up in Manteno. And she said, man, I remember when, you know, things worked out for her to come back to the church and how thankful she was. Sitting in the office telling me one day how glad she was to get out of that environment. It can be an eye-opener. So just because you're not in a situation right now where you're surrounded by lost people, that doesn't mean that you won't be someday. And the wise understand how dangerous it is to listen to the voice of evil people. Look at verse number 10. The wise man says to his son, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's a great verse right there. And that's a short verse. It's a verse that every set of parents ought to put on the memorization sheet for your children when they're young. They ought to learn this verse. And you ought to explain it to them and you ought to teach it to them family altar once in a while. Go over it. You know, living wisely means that there are times that demand I have a strong will. And that's why if you've got a strong-willed child, folks, okay, it can cause you a little headache when they're young, but don't destroy that will. Get it under control. Because a strong will is, there are times when that demand our children have a strong will. A strong will for right will keep our kids from a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache. The truth of the matter is, most of God's people have good intentions when it comes to living right, But there are times, people, when intentions are not enough. And it's just not enough to have a good intention. It takes a strong will to back up that intention and choose right. And in those moments, being able to say no, which is what this verse basically says. My son, when if sinners entice thee, just say no. Consent thou not. So, you know, there are times when saying no is going to require strength, much strength. And it's also going to require wisdom so that you can clearly see when those times are upon you. Okay? So that's why you want to live wisely. You want to live wisely so that you'll understand how dangerous it is to understand, to listen to the voice of evil people. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 10, it takes consent to yield to the temptations of the wicked. What is consent? Agreement. Webster said it's agreement. Webster said it is to be of one mind. You know what consent is? Consent is saying yes. That's what it is. Now, I want you to see, it takes consent to yield to the temptation of the wicked. No one is forced to follow or travel the path of those who are destined for trouble and judgment. No one's forced into that, folks. There is a yes on the part of the innocent person, the targeted person, the decent person. Consent is what the lost people want. The wicked want the righteous to say yes. You see, you got to understand, as long as you're saying no, you're an irritant to them. As long as you're saying no, you're a source of conviction. And they want you to say yes so that you'll be like them. And then it removes all the conviction. It removes all the irritants away from them. So they want the righteous to say yes. And it takes wisdom to see through their decoys, through their traps, it takes wisdom to see through that and say no. It takes wisdom. Now, there was a saying some years ago that was popular, and it went like this: the devil made me do it. That's an absolute falsehood. An absolute falsehood. Any wrong required the consent of the one who did wrong. Okay? So if you do wrong, friend, it required your consent. Now, you might have been met with strong temptation, but there's no temptation taken man, but such as is common to man, and God always provides a way to escape. God's faithful to do that. You didn't have to say yes. So if wrong is done, it required the consent of the one who did the wrong. Here's the issue. Notice the word in verse number 10, if sinners entice thee. Notice that word, entice. Okay? This is how the consent is achieved by those who are wicked. This is how the consent is gained. It's enticement. What does enticement mean? Again, I go to Webster's Dictionary. To incite or instigate. By exciting hope or desire. To seduce. To lead astray. To induce to sin. By promises or persuasions. That's what enticement is. Okay? Enticement to man is what the attractant is to the animal that's trying to be hunted and taken in a hunt. Whether it's a deer or whether it's a trap set for a raccoon. And I've told you that before. And I learned how to do a few things when I was out. And I learned how to go to a creek bank where there were raccoon tracks and take a little trowel, hand trowel, and dig a hole out of it. Just dig a hole in the side of the bank and take a little stick, a little piece of a limb, and just stick a piece of paper on it. And put that piece of paper, put the piece of paper on the stick, a little piece of paper, not one this big, a little piece of paper, just a little piece of white paper. And then jam the other end of that stick in the back end of that hole, and that raccoon, and then set the trap right at the entrance of there, and that raccoon can't help himself. He sees that white piece of, just a white piece of paper, or a little piece of cloth, and he'll stick his hand in there. And if he gets close enough, he'll get his other leg in the trap. It's the enticement. It's the lure. It's the buck call. It's the grunt call that the deer hunter uses in the wood. Which when the deer is passing by and going to go by your stand too far for you to take a shot at, gets his attention. That's what the allurements are, the enticements, and that's what the wicked have to use. You see, look, they can't entice you. The drunkard can't entice you with the true results of drunkenness. The dope addict can't entice you with the true results of dope addiction. You know, the sorry, no good for nothing, rotten, wicked, filthy person can't entice you with the true results of immoral living. So there has to be some allurement. A lure. Okay? There has to be some lure. There has to be some enticement. That's what the wicked use. To incite or instigate by exciting hope or desire, to seduce, to lead astray, to induce to sin, watch this, by promises or persuasions. And folks, we're not left to guess what promises or persuasions sinners use to entice God's people. They're written right here for us. Look at verse number 11. Here, 11 and 12. Here's one of the things that they promise or they use to persuade Christian people to go their way is the promise of success. Look at verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Folks, when you read that, is there any hint of failure in what they're saying? There's no hint of failure there. We're going to be successful in this. Come and go with us. We're going to be successful in this endeavor. So they entice Christian young people with this, the promise of success. Look at verse 13. They use the promise of substance. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. We're going to be rich. This is going to make us rich. This is going to be good. So they use substance as a persuasion, the promise of substance. Then in verse 14, this is what I'm just sticking with the letter S. You'll see the promise of solidarity. Look at verse 14. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You're one of us. Come be one of the crowd. You see, look, folks, all their plans, all their goals, all their dreams end with, and they live happily ever after. They never plan for failure. The result is always gain. And this might be the most enticing of all to young people. There will be acceptance. You'll be one of the gang. You'll fit in with us. Now, you may not be facing any of that right now in your little sheltered life. But when you get out in the world where you're surrounded by lost people, they're not going to be content to leave you like you are. They're going after your holiness. They're going after your Christianity. And part of their enticement is, we're going to be successful in what we do. We're going to have substance. And you'll be one of us. Come be part of the crowd. Now remember that this book is especially written to young people. So these are enticements that are especially alluring to young people. Success and substance and solidarity. What young person doesn't want to experience success? What young person doesn't want substance? Doesn't want gain? What young person doesn't want to be part of the crowd? Part of the group? That appeals to all young people. Those are enticements that wise people of any age, and especially young people, will have to learn to say no to. You'll have to learn to say no. Come on, go with us. Come on, go with us to the nightclub. Come on, go with us downtown. Come on, go with us and just hang out just one night. Come on, go with us over to the casino and let's get a little money and go to the blackjack table. Come on, go with us. The enticements of success, substance, and solidarity. And that solidarity, again, that might be the most alluring. I'll tell you, there's not many teenagers, there's not many, who want to be left out. There's not many teenagers who want to walk alone. There's not many teenagers who do not want to be part of the group. And that's even when you're 18 or 19. You want to fit in. You want to feel accepted. But that's one of the allurements and enticements that wicked people use to try to get you to go down their path. But young person, you've got to understand how deadly the path is in which these people are walking. And listen, I know what I'm talking about. We've sent a lot of kids away from this church to different Bible colleges, including five or six of my own now. And when they hit the work world, it's a shock. It's a shock. the behavior of lost people. And you're sheltered from that. And good, I'm glad you are. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be an eye-opener someday. And they're going to try to put the hook in you. And they're going to try to get you to walk down their path and walk down their road. And you've got to understand how deadly the path is in which these people are walking. I take you back, I don't think I've told this story for a while, but I take you back to an illustration where Brother Brown used to use often about down south there as a boy. And I don't know if this happened when he was down in North Carolina or what, but this young man, and he had a liking for a girl, and they were church-going kids, and you know. But he was one of the church-going kids that, you know, ran with the world and ran the world's crowd. And so, you know, he got one of his buddies one night, and he said, come on, I'm going to go pick up his girlfriend-to-be. He thought, you get to go by the house and see if we can take so-and-so with us. And so they went to the house of the girl, and they knocked on the door, and her daddy came to the door. And he said, sir, he said, can so-and-so come out and hang out with us tonight? The dad said, no, she's not going with you anywhere tonight. And he said, well, we're not going to do anything wrong. We just want to just go hang out together, ride around. And he said, no. And by the way, when there's no purpose, and when there's no goal, and when there's no plan, you ought to stay away from that. Hanging out's got a lot of people in trouble. Tremendous. And the dad said, no, put his foot down. And boy, it made the kid mad. And him and his friend circled the block, and they pulled back in front of the house. He rolled down his window, and he let fly with as many filthy words, you blankety blank, yelling out the car window at that fella, you blankety blank, 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 spun his tires and roared away. And they laughed and had a high old time, and then they said, let's do that again. So they pulled around a second time, stopped in front of the house, same thing. Hey, you old man, you blankety, and they just screamed and hollered and everything. Boy, they laughed and had a big old time. Went downtown a little bit, riding around, and saw a buddy walking down the street. Said, hey, come on, hop in with us. He got in the middle between the two guys in the front seat of the car. And he said, what y'all been doing? He said, well, we've been, and they told him what they've been doing. He said, let's go try it one more time. They pulled around that house. What they didn't know was that old man had had enough. And he'd gotten his rifle. He went out, had it hiding behind a big old bush on the edge of the property. And that old boy stopped that car and screamed and hollered and cussed him again, called him every name in the book. Peeled out. That old boy stepped out behind that bush and lowered that rifle and fired a shot through the back glass. And guess which boy got it in the head? The guy sitting in the middle. Now, I'm simply telling you, look, maybe that's an extreme illustration, but I remember Brother Brown telling that often. I'm trying to tell you, some of you who are now 17 and 18, and you're going to be headed out into a world where you have to get a job and make some money, and you've been in this sheltered situation, and once again, I think that's the safest thing for you. I do not believe that exposure strengthens you. But I think you better be ready for exposure when it comes. And I'm telling you, they go after you. The wise person has to understand how dangerous it is to listen to the voice of evil people. Look what he said in verse 15. Look what he said here. He said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Could that be any clearer? Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. It's Friday afternoon. You're working on the construction crew. You're working at the bank. You're working, you know, it's Friday night. You're getting off work and they're going out to party. Come on and go with us. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't forget those words. My goodness. They go headlong into trouble. And in some cases, deadly trouble. They are sneaky, and they are seductive, and they are deceitful. Tricksters who lay in wait for the innocent. They conceal their plans and their intentions. There's enticements, allurements to try to hook you. And it takes wisdom to see through all that and to say no. Look what he said in verse number 17. Now, verse 17 is one of those dark sayings. Remember the dark sayings that are mentioned back there in verse number 6? The words of the wise and their dark sayings. 17 is one of those dark sayings, those maxims, those statements of wisdom. Look at what it says. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Surely in vain starts the proverb. Now what does vain mean? Vain means empty. Vain means wasteful. So what is the vain, empty, or wasteful matter here? What is vain or wasteful? What's empty? Well, look at what he says. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. It is a foolish waste for the fowler, the hunter. to spread his net while the bird is watching. So the fowler has to conceal the trap. He has to decoy the trap. He has to entice the bird to the snare. That's what the fowler has to do. And I can remember, you know, we do this nowadays. And we get out there deer hunting, and there are certain times in the fall when the rut is on and the bucks are running crazy. And you can take a decoy, take a doe decoy. I was out in Iowa one year, and a fellow invited me to hunt on his farm out there. And he said, "Now take my decoy to the stand." He said, "Put it this way, about 15 yards away from the stand. Put it facing this way into the wind." And he said, "Be ready." And sure enough, I was sitting there, and I heard some noise off to my left. I looked over there, and there was a nice, and it was a nice. He wasn't a wall hanger, but it was a nice size buck. And he said, "Shoot a buck if you see one." So I said, "Okay." So he's coming, and he came right in, and he went right to where that decoy was, right to her, the imitation her, right to her, and stopped. It was like taking candy from a baby. He ran 50 yards. He didn't even go 50 yards, about 35 yards, and fell right at the edge of the creek, deader than a hammer. What got him? The decoy. The allurement. The decoy. And that's exactly what Solomon is warning his kids about. He said, "You've got to be careful of their decoys. You've got to be careful of their enticements." That's why he says in verse number 10, "If sinners entice thee with these persuasions and these promises and all this talk of, oh, it'll be okay, it won't hurt just one night, just once. It's a decoy. It's a trap. You got to be careful. You got to see through that and learn to say no." Look at verse number 18. Look what he says here. "And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives." You know what the mistake they make is? The mistake the sinners make, is in not realizing who really gets hurt. They are hurt more than any they might be attempting to hurt. It is their own blood and their own lives that are at stake. So people, young people especially, the wise understand how dangerous it is to listen to the voice of evil people. But it doesn't stop with just young people. Because Robert Angel, with General Motors for all of those years, in a distant city, away from his wife, and away from his bed, and away from his home, after a dinner with vendors, is invited by the guys to go down and take part in this stuff, go down to one of those clubs that is wrongly named a gentleman's club. And I don't have Dad here tonight to ask him, but I can't believe that it's much different than it would be for a young person. "Oh, come on, Robert, come on just one time. It won't hurt you just one time. Come on, just one time. Just one time." So it's not just kids. It's men of all ages. It's women of all ages. We have to be wise enough to see through all the allurement, to see through all the enticement, to see through all the promises, to see through all the persuasions of the wicked, and really, folks, just say no. No. That is a great verse. That is a great Bible verse. A great one. That's a principle of living wisely. Living wisely, principle number 4, is found in verses 20 through the end of the chapter, 20 through 33, and it won't take me long to go through them. But wise, living wisely, principle number 4 is this: the wise understand how dangerous it is not to listen to the voice of God. So it's dangerous to listen to the voice of evil people. It is dangerous not to listen to the voice of God. Beginning in verse number 20, God speaks about this. I want you to notice here. "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words." And then it says, saying, but we'll stop there. Now look, think about this. Think. Contrast verse number 10 with verse number 20 and 21. Verse number 10, the sinners have to use persuasion. Verse number 10, the sinners have to use promises. Verse number 10, the sinners have to use enticements. You know what God said about wisdom? It's out there for everybody. It's plainly seen. You know, wisdom is just the opposite of the enticements of the wicked. The enticements of the wicked are sneaky and they're underhanded and they're deceitful. But wisdom is open and available to anybody who wants it. It is available through the voice of God in many different ways and places. Solomon said it's in the streets. It's in the chief place of the concourse. It's in the openings of the gates. It's in the city. What does he mean by this? What does he mean by it? That wisdom is just out there. Well, folks, remember who he is writing to. Remember that Solomon is writing these verses to his children and to the children of his kingdom. Hey, you know what? He really isn't writing these verses to the unsaved Moabite kids. He's not writing these verses to the unsaved Ammonite kids. In his kingdom, he's writing to the children who are growing up in the nation of Israel. And he said, hey, kids, that's what he's saying here. Wisdom is available to you in all places. There are wise people who sit in the gate. There are wise people who walk our streets. There are wise people all around our city. There are wise people everywhere. If you want wisdom, you can have it. It's not concealed. It's not hidden. It's not stuffed away in a corner. It is wide open for you to learn. Now, here's the parallel to you folks in this day and age, to the kids in this church. Here's the parallel. The parallel is to young people in Christian homes, in Bible-believing churches, in Christian school environments. Wisdom has not been hidden from you. Wisdom has been paraded in front of your eyes, sometimes on a daily basis, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year of your life. Where are you in life? 12? Where are you in life? 15? Where are you in life? 8? If you're in a Christian home and you've been in this church for any length of time and you're in any kind of Christian school environment, wisdom has been paraded in front of you day after day after day. It's on display everywhere. It's on display in your home, displayed by your parents who love God and fear God. It's on display in your church, in your Sunday school classes, in your preaching services, in your teen meetings. It's even in your school, if you have a Christian school environment. Even the academic subjects are taught in relation to the Bible. Wisdom is not hidden. Wisdom is not concealed. Wisdom doesn't have to lure it. Wisdom doesn't have to decoy itself. Here's wisdom. Boy, you've heard it, and 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 you've heard it. It's in full view. Young people, are you paying attention? Are you listening? Are you taking it to heart? That's the issue. The issue is, are you taking it to heart? Are you paying attention? No. Do not think that you will hide behind ignorance, the excuse of ignorance, if you follow the temptations of the wicked. You can't believe how many times I've heard that. Well, I didn't know. Oh, help me. You didn't know. Oh, no. You had an opportunity to know. You've heard it at home. You've heard it at church. You've heard it at school. I didn't know. That's not going to fly, kids. Okay? That's not going to fly. You might fly in some, you know, touchy-feely, kumbaya, make me all happy and warm and fuzzy church where nothing is ever said that this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. But it's not going to fly in your home. From some of the homes you're from, it's not going to fly when you take into consideration the pulpit of this church, because wisdom has been on display. It's been visible. It's open. It's out there, just like it was in Solomon's kingdom. And we're no comparison to Solomon. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying this. You've heard enough in your lifetime to stay off the path of the wicked. You're not going to be able to say someday, well, I didn't know. That will not fly. Look at verses 22 and 23. Look at what he says here. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Come on, guys. Look. Don't stay. You might be simple, but don't stay simple. You don't have to stay simple. You don't have to. Okay? And look what he says in verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. That's the whole purpose of this teaching and preaching and the training at home, at school, and church. You know, because when you start to veer off the path, and I didn't say if, I said when. Because every young person is going to go tap the boundaries once in a while. Boom. Boom. But when you do that and you hear the voice of God, the wisdom that God has given you from your dad, your mom, your Sunday school teacher, your youth director, your preacher, when you hear the voice of God telling you to turn, turn! Get back in the right road. Don't get close to the edge. That's what God is saying here. Same verse, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to keep you in the right path. You're going to hear my voice saying, back to the right, back to the left. Don't veer that way. And my spirit's going to come and teach you and bless you. I mean, good night, man. Keep your face turned toward wisdom. Keep your face turned toward your Bible. I have had a tremendous time meeting with some of the seniors in our church. And not all of them, but some of them. I mean, I've had a good time meeting with all of them, but I've been extremely encouraged. I don't mean that. There's some I hate meeting with, you know. Somebody sitting out there going, me? You know, no. I've had a good time meeting with all the seniors, but I've been especially impressed because I always ask, you know, after talking about plans and how school is going in the future, how's your relationship with your Bible? And I've just been blessed to hear young people say, you know, it wasn't really good until last year. It wasn't really good until 9 months ago. But I settled in. You're going to need that. Keep your face turned toward the Bible. The young people who don't do that are in dangerous territory. That's wisdom. That's one of the voices of wisdom that God uses to tell you to turn back. Come on, turn back. And folks, if you'll just follow, I don't understand. You will if you follow God. He'll make sure you understand. That's what He said in verse number 23. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I'll deal with you. I'll help you understand it. So keep your face turned toward wisdom. Keep your face turned toward your Bible. Keep your face turned toward your parents. I asked this one young person, how's your relationship with your parents? And they responded, I tell them everything. I said, glory to God. This is an 18-year-old who's not ashamed to say, I tell them everything. I talk to them about it. You know what that is, kids? That's keeping your face turned toward wisdom. In myself, I am flesh. But I want to tell you, the young people who've kept their relationship with their pastor tight over the years haven't done too badly. I still got them to call me. They call me. Your kids call. They're married. And they still call. They're not even here anymore. And other kids, not just Ben and Matt and others. I'm not a know-it-all, but I want to tell you something. You know, God put me here, and I got a little bit of a grasp after 59 years of living. And you know, young people who kind of keep their face turned toward their pastor don't do too bad. I'm not setting myself up as the perfect example, but you know, you can turn your face away from your parents and your pastor, you're going to hurt for it. You're going to hurt for it. Keep your face turned toward your parents, toward your Bible, toward others who love God and are going God's way. Turn your face toward them. That's what He's saying here in this, turn you at my reproof. Now, I'm going to get to this because I want to deal with this. I want to quit. But verses 24 through 33, to me, this passage contains some of the most serious words from God that a young person can read. Look at verse 24. Because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Folks, do you see what he said? Stand up here, Brother Trent. God says, I called Trent, and you paid no attention. I reached my hand out to help you. And you never responded. You refused my counsel. This is God speaking. This is wisdom speaking. God's wisdom. I've called and ye've refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel. You've thought it ridiculous. You've laughed at it. You've disregarded it. You've downgraded it. You've despised it with none of my reproof. You see, God takes note when we disregard His wisdom. God takes note when we disregard His wisdom. Now look at what He says in verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. You see, that it's not if the calamity comes, it's when. It's not if, it's when. And when the calamity comes, I'll laugh at it. Because you know what you're going to start doing then? Oh, God! Oh, God! I'll laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. That's strong. That's strong, people. The way it says in 20, when your fear cometh as the desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. And kids, I've been telling you this, and I say kids, I'm talking about all of you that are still at home, okay? You're not married yet. And even the younger ones, I've told you and I've said it. Some of you still don't believe me. You have no idea how fast life can unravel when you get going down the wrong road. You have no idea how quickly it can fall apart. I wish to my soul that a couple of you here tonight would hear this. You can get yourself, I've said it, you get yourself so entangled in a web before you're 25. 25! In debt over your ears, and a child here, and you're having to pay, what do you call that? Child support, and you had a car repossessed, and your credit rating is before you're 25. You think about that. And that's what He's talking about here. You know, God takes note when our trouble begins and when it escalates, and that's what God is saying. Go ahead. I've done my best. Wisdom has been out there. Wisdom's been in your life since the time that you were born. Some of you, He's talking to His kids. He's not talking to the Moabites. Wisdom's been out there for you, but a handful of you refused it, ignored it, and when your calamity comes, I'm going to laugh, and it's going to escalate like a whirlwind. Look at verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Guys, listen. These are not just some words written by the pen of some man. That's God's holy book. God will let them reap a full harvest. God will not respond to those who had opportunity and wasted it. Look at verse 31 and 32. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And hey, mark that down. You like circle verses in your Bible? Mark it down right there and right on the margin. All those who are going to vote for Bernie Sanders. All those who want socialism. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You know what they're going to find out? They're going to find out it's going to make them sick. Oh, yeah, man, free college for everybody. Yeah, that's what I want. Go ahead. Go ahead. There won't be any jobs. There won't be any middle class. Huh? God will let them reap a full harvest of what they sowed. Look at 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, here it is. Look at how God ends it. Oh, man. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You listen to God's wisdom and act by it. And God will bless you, friend. He'll help you. I tell you, that's a startling passage of Scripture to me. You say, now, Pastor, I have always heard that God is a God of a second and a third and a fourth and a so on chance. Yeah, I have heard that too, and I've preached that. And I believe that He is. But I also believe that there are some people who squandered such an opportunity away that God said, that's it. That's it. I guess it depends on how much wisdom we had access to, how we responded to it. It depends on how many times we heard God say, turn. How many times we sat in a service with a pastor who has nothing to gain by just being truthful with you. And walked out and just said, ah. Depends on how many times we didn't listen to our parents, our pastor, other who spoke on behalf of God. You see, God takes the turning away from His wisdom seriously. You know what, young people? I would not try to figure out how close I could get without getting burned. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Man, if I could stand up here tonight and just call the roll. You know, some young people that have left here and had turned their face toward wisdom, and they're not perfect. They made mistakes. Maybe they bumped the guardrail once in a while, but they're out there now. They're in their 30s now. Some of them are in this room. You know what? They're not filthy rich. They don't live in the biggest houses. But boy, there's something about they're living and dwelling in safety. They're in a safe road, a safe path. And this is what the wise king is trying to exhort all of his kids, his own and those in his kingdom, I believe, to do. You gotta realize how dangerous it is to listen to the voice of evil people. And you better understand also how dangerous it is not to listen to the voice of God. Amen? That's a lesson, folks. Help us, Lord Jesus. Let's stand. Father, bless us tonight. I preach this and teach this for the cause of our young people, for their futures, for their well-being. Lord, I pray that You'll help them. I pray that You'll please, God, just make it clear, and may Your Spirit do a good work in our hearts and help us to be right and stay right. Bless the lesson to us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Ladies, play us just a song of invitation there. We'll be down here. Prayer would be, Lord, help me to keep my face turned toward wisdom. Help me to keep my face turned toward my Bible, my parents, my pastor. Pour out Your help on us, dear Lord. Pour out Your help, and I pray that even as some of these young people in 2 to 3 years will leave the home and go into some type of work environment, I pray that Your Spirit will be there to recall lessons like this one, lessons that their parents have taught them, and Lord, that they will say no. They will say no. They will say no, and they'll listen very carefully to Your voice and keep their face turned toward wisdom. Bless them, I pray. That's my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.